Richard for leading the singing tonight. Good to see you all in the House of God here in Sandown Road. Those who are visiting, you're especially welcome. We trust and pray in the presence of the Lord as we meet together in His house tonight. We're going to continue singing. We're going to sing together the hymn 134. Hymn 134, Before the Throne of God Above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Hymn 134 will stand as we get the introduction, please. Heads together in a word of prayer. We'll come seek the face of God for His blessing as we come to our service tonight. Let's just pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come before Thee tonight in the attitude of prayer, and we thank Thee afresh for the approach that we have before Thee tonight. We thank Thee that we come before the throne of God above, and we have that strong, that perfect plea. Lord, we know tonight that we can come with boldness before Thee, for we are accepted in the Beloved, not through anything that we have done, not of anything that we are, but all through the finished work and the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise Thee tonight that we come before a God who is holy, a God who is almighty, and yet a God who is gracious, a God who is merciful, and one who is long-suffering. Lord, we thank Thee tonight afresh for all of Thy blessings and Thy goodness towards us this evening. We thank Thee for Thy hand upon us today, for all of the provisions that we have in our lives. Lord, You've met the need afresh, and we thank Thee as well for traveling mercies that have brought us to this place tonight. We thank Thee for the open house, the open door to come in and to praise and to worship Thy name. And Lord, we thank Thee as well, not only for the physical blessings, but Lord, most of all, we thank Thee for Thy spiritual blessings. Lord, we thank Thee for the gospel message which we have to proclaim. We thank Thee for the love of God towards sinful men. And we thank Thee for Christ. We thank Thee that He came into this world, that, Lord, He lived that perfect life unto the law that we could not live. And he went to the cross at Calvary, and he died that atoning death, and he shed his precious blood. And Lord, tonight we thank thee for that fountain of blood which has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. We thank thee for each one tonight who is washed in the blood of Christ, who can say that they are a children of God. We thank thee that we are redeemed by his blood. We're justified before thee, and we are brought into the family and the fold of God. And we come tonight as children come to their Father, and we come to thee, our heavenly Father. And Lord, we cry for thy help tonight in this service. Lord, we need thee to be here. We need thy presence. We need thy Spirit to be upon us tonight in every aspect of our meeting. We pray for the singing of these hymns together, that we would uplift Christ. Lord, we pray for the reading and the preaching of thy word, that, Lord, you would use these means to speak to those gathered in who are outside of Christ. We thank thee for the Hannah family, which are along tonight. We pray for Mark, for Mervyn, for Elizabeth. We thank thee for bringing them here tonight in safety. We pray that you would use them as thy instruments tonight. Lord, as they would sing to the glory of God, that, Lord, you'd even use those pieces of song and those words to speak to some soul who is in need of Christ, in need of a Savior. We thank thee, Lord, that we live in a day of opportunity and a day of grace. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would give men and women that opportunity to come on to thee. Help them to no longer run away from the gospel, to run away from Christ, but give them a hatred over their sin. Help them to run to the Savior. Help them to get to the cross tonight, for we know that the way of the cross, it leads home. We thank thee tonight for those who are saved, that, Lord, as we journey through this life, that, Lord, we have that prospect to know that when we pass from this life, that we're going to be in glory. We're going to enjoy all of eternity in the presence of God. Oh, Lord, tonight, come and visit this place. Visit it with salvation. We remember those in the congregation who are unwell at this time. Lord, would love to be here, but they can't. Out of old age, out of sickness, Lord, we pray you would minister unto their needs. You would draw alongside, and they would know the presence and the power of God in their lives. We remember our own minister again tonight, Mr. Wilson. As he would be preaching in Cumber, we pray you'll bless him and use him in that place. Give him the joy of leading some soul to the Savior tonight. And we pray for every faithful witness across this land, all those that would faithfully declare thy word. O Lord, may there be signs to follow the preaching of thy word. Lord, we notice, Lord, that we live in days of spiritual barrenness, days where it seems that men have no interest in the things of God. And Lord, we cry unto thee again to visit this vine. Lord, visit us afresh. Come and may we see fruit for our labors, may it result in spiritual fruit, that we would see souls being added onto the kingdom of God, being saved daily, such as should be saved. O Lord, come and work in our midst tonight. Help our praise and our worship to be acceptable in thy sight. And Lord, we would be careful then to give thee all of the glory and all of the praise, for thou art worthy of all of these things. So Lord, continue with us now. We ask all of these things in our Savior's great and his wondrous name alone. Amen. Amen. We're delighted tonight to have the Hannah family with us. I was speaking to Mervyn before we began our service. He was saying this is the first Free Presbyterian Church that they're singing in. And I told him, well, there's no greater Free Presbyterian Church you could come and you could sing in. We had the privilege, me and Victoria were over in Morecambe last month. That's when I met them. And I was blessed by their ministry and song. And I know tonight you'll be blessed as they come now. I pray the Lord will bless you as you come minister in song.
We like to be close to each other when we sing. That's why I'm taking this off. It's great to be with you tonight. It is indeed our first time in the Free Presbyterian Church. Not my first time ever in a Free Presbyterian, just singing tonight. So we're great to be here, and thanks for having us tonight.
This first song we're going to sing, it's a song called There's One Who Was Willing to Die. And we're thankful tonight that we can sing about a Savior who was nailed to a cross for our sins. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And a path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. He was nailed to the cross, he was nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, and my sins were all laid on him there. He is tender and loving and patient with me, while he cleanses my heart of its dross. But there's no condemnation, I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. He was nailed to the cross, he was nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, and my sins were all laid on him there. I will cling to my Savior and never depart. I will joyfully journey each day, with a song on my lips and a song in my heart, for my sins have been taken away. He was nailed to the cross, he was nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, and my sins were all laid on him.
You know, friends, that's why this meeting is convened. That's why Adam can stand up on that platform and preach this gospel, because there was one willing to die. Amen. You ever think of what this world would be like if God wasn't willing to send his son, and if the Lord Jesus wasn't willing to go? We'd all be men lost in our sins, wouldn't we? This song is called Thank God I Am Free. We normally have Lizzie in with us on the piano tonight, but we're flying as a trio. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out
He could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Hallelujah, I'm saved.
Amen.
We'll turn tonight in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew, please. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7. As you turn there, can I thank the Hannah family for those two pieces in song, and praise God tonight for those of us in Christ, we can say that we're saved by the wondrous grace of our God. We trust tonight, if you know not Christ, that you would experience that saving faith even tonight, you'd be born again from above. Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, going to read from verse number 12 down to verse 23. Let's hear the word of the Lord tonight. Matthew chapter 7. And begin a reading at the verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We end our reading at the end of verse 23. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word tonight. At this stage, we'll ask our brother Paul to come and to give the announcements for the week that lies ahead, please.
On behalf of the Reverend Wilson, we do bid you a very warm and sincere welcome along to Sandown tonight. And as Adam has already said, we're very happy to have the Hannah family with us tonight singing. We trust the Lord will continue to bless you as you minister in song a little later. You are very welcome along to Sandown tonight. And I would echo what our brother Adam has said, no better place could you commence singing than in Sandown. So you're very welcome, as indeed everyone is. And anyone visiting with us tonight, you're most welcome indeed to our congregation here. And also we welcome those who are watching online. These are the announcements just for this incoming week. Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. we have the Exporters Bible Club, and then at 8 p.m. we have the prayer meeting and Bible study, and the speaker will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson. Then on Friday at 8 p.m. we have the Youth Fellowship, and our brother Kyle will be speaking to our young people on Friday night. And then also on Friday night at 8 p.m. here in the little side room is the men's prayer meeting on Friday night also. Then next Lord's Day, Sunday the 29th of October, we begin the day 10:15 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class, 11:30 a.m. morning worship service, 2:30 in the afternoon is our Sunday school in Redburn Community Centre, 6:30 p.m. is our gospel service, and the speaker at both of those services will be the Reverend Wilson, and our brother John Porter is the singer. And if I'm right in remembering, as somebody has said to me, the clocks go back next Sunday. Am I right in saying that? I'm getting a few nods, so enjoy your extra hour in your bed for next Sunday. So that's a good reprieve for us all, getting that extra hour. So do remember those times for next Lord's Day. Then the other announcements, missionary boxes, of course, are due in this month. And also remember the Christmas shoebox appeal. The shoeboxes need to be returned to church no later than Tuesday, the 7th of November. And we still need more people. We've just seen a few names on the list there. We still need some more to join to be part of the congregation for Let the Bible Speak recordings in Lurgan Free Church on Thursday, the 9th of November. So please do remember that. The missionary offering, which was last week, we had a missionary council box, and that was £119.27. The UK fund, there was a gift of £42.60, and another gift for Brother Jason Boyle of £10. Also, do continue to remember those who are unwell in our congregation at this time. Remember especially Billy and Raymond this incoming week as they go and commence their treatment. And also, Derek just spoke to us a little earlier, our brother Frank McClelland. Dr. Frank McClelland is very unwell at this moment in time and is in hospital. So do remember the Lord's servant, especially in your prayers at this time. And also remember that we don't take up an offering at this moment, but the boxes are there and available for you as you leave church tonight. Also, there are a number of meetings. One has been held in Grace Free Church in Newton Ards. That's on Questions That Matter, and that's a week of meetings, the 22nd to the 27th of October, and weeknights are 8 p.m. And then the Harvest Mission continues over in our Carried Off Church. The preacher and evangelist is the Reverend Roger Higginson. That's from the 15th to the 29th of October, weeknights again at 8 p.m. Just remains for me again to welcome our brother Adam back to the pulpit here in the gospel service tonight in Sandown. It's a strange thing, Adam, when you're welcomed into your home church. You know the feeling, but you are most welcome, and we've enjoyed Adam's ministry this morning, as we have done in the past, and we trust the Lord will bless him in the gospel tonight. God bless you, Adam. Thank
you. Again, let me thank Paul for the announcements, for the warm words of welcome again. Good to be with you this morning and this evening. And again, I thank Mr. Wilson for the invitation, as always, to come along. It's a joy to come and to open up God's word. I know I said this morning, perhaps your own church is the most nervous place you feel, but it is a joy and a privilege to stand here and to be able to preach the word of life. And we trust the Lord will bless us tonight before we come to his word. We're going to sing together a hymn at this stage. It is the hymn 311, well-known hymn by Fanny Crosby, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. Hymn 311, we'll stand and we'll sing this together, please.
Yeah.
this point of the service, we ask the Hannah family again to come up and to bring their final pieces in song, please.
This is maybe not so much a gospel song. It's more of a ministry song, I suppose. But you know, it's a song that talks about heaven and how that's a place where there's never going to be any hearts that are broken, or that anywhere there's going to be no more tears. It's called The Heart That'll Never Break Again.
And a heart that will never break again. I remember standing at my daddy's bedside, and the tears filled up the wrinkles on his face. And as I held his withered hand, he smiled and whispered, "Son, I'm going to live in a better place, and I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops, and I'll have legs that will never with pain, and I'll have hands that will never age and wither, and a heart that will never break again. I have often heard and read about that city where with Jesus we shall live forevermore, and there are mansions in construction for my dwelling, and the streets of gold will run by my front door, and I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops, and I'll have legs that will never ache with pain, and I'll have hands that will never age and wither, and a heart that will never break again. All the eyes of the blind will then be open, and they'll join the victory march with the lame, and the deaf who've never heard the roar of thunder will rejoice to hear the Savior call his name. And I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops, and I'll have legs that will never ache with pain, and I'll have hands that will never age and wither, and a heart that will never break again, and a heart that will never break again.
You know, friends, maybe you've been sitting listening to the gospel for years. Maybe the Lord's hand's been knocking on your heart's door. Maybe your whole life, you're still not saved. His song's called "He Took Your Place." Listen to the chorus, friends, as we sing it. His hand is gently knocking on your door. Outside, he's pleading to come in. His heart is breaking as he waits for you to wash you free from every sin. Maybe tonight, friend, you'll come and have your sins forgiven.
Upon the rugged cross of Calvary was there my blessed Savior cried. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. O sinner friend, for us he died. His hand is gently knocking on your door. Outside he's pleading to come in. His heart is breaking as he waits for you to wash you free from every sin. Those cruel thorns, they pierce my Savior's head. The blood was flowing down his face. In shame forsaken, there he hung and died. Oh, sinner friend, he took your place. His hand is gently knocking on your door. Outside he's pleading to come in. His heart is breaking as he waits for you to wash you free from every sin. Someday he's coming back to claim his own. We'll fly to heaven's golden shore. A crown of life he'll give on that glad day. With him we'll live forevermore. His hand is gently knocking on your door. Outside he's pleading to come in. His heart is breaking as he waits for you to wash you free from every sin. To wash you free from every sin.
Turn back tonight to Matthew chapter 7, please. As you turn there, can I thank again Hannah family, thank Mervyn, Mark, Elizabeth for the ministry in song tonight. I know that we have been blessed, and already in this service, Christ has been uplifted, and his cross work has been presented. And do you know what it is tonight to know what it is to be washed in his blood and to be cleansed from your sin? Matthew chapter 7. As we come to the gospel tonight, we want to look at the subject of the two gates of eternity. Read again verses 13 and 14, which tell us, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." With the word of God open, let us come before the Lord and seek his face for the blessing on the preaching of his word tonight. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight already for the blessing that it has been to our hearts to be gathered in this house and in this gospel service. We thank you that through the hymns which we have been singing, Lord, through the reading of thy word, through the ministry of thy servants in song, that we have been brought to see Christ and to see his finished work on the cross. Oh Lord, tonight we pray as we come to thy gospel, Lord, as we come to deal with what are matters of spiritual life and spiritual death, that, O Lord, you would come and speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for thy Spirit to preach the word of God tonight. Fill me with thy Spirit and with thy power to preach the word of God. And we pray for all those that would listen in this building, perhaps online. Lord, may they hear words whereby they can and they must be saved. O Lord, come and move amongst us. Come and save some sinner tonight. We pray it all for the glory and for the honor of thy precious name. So continue with us now, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was on the 7th of October in 1949 that the Soviet Union ceased control of East Germany and, most importantly, the city of Berlin. And immediately we learn, as the Soviets went into Berlin, that that region became a strict communist state run by the Soviets. And over the decades that followed, we then learn of how many civilians they tried to cross from West Germany to go into East Germany. They emigrated across to East Germany, which was then controlled by the Allied forces of Great Britain, France, and America. And so it was the Soviets' plan on the 13th of August 1961 that they began construction on the Berlin Wall. It was their intention to stop civilians leaving East Germany so that they would stay there, they would work, they would boost their economy, and they would give them a military edge over the Allied forces in that period of the Cold War. And of course, it was the Berlin Wall that soon became known as the Iron Curtain in Europe. And in many ways, the Berlin Wall was a symbol of division amongst people. It was the dividing line not only in Germany, not only in Europe, but it was very much the dividing line at that time of the entire world. And so there we have a picture of a dividing line between men and women. And it is tonight, as we come to the gospel, as we come to the teachings of Christ, as we find them here in the Sermon on the Mount, that the Lord reminds his listeners that there is a great division between men and women. It is not a physical dividing line. It is not a man-made construction, but it is a spiritual division. Of course, that division is the place at Calvary and the cross of Christ, because it is our view on Christ and his finished work, what we do with Christ, that separates us, all of humanity. The view of Christ ultimately leads to how we are found tonight before God. We're either saved, trusting in Christ, or we're lost, rejecting Christ and his cross. And it is that truth that we find the Savior speaking of in Matthew chapter 7. The Savior teaches three different parables to tell us about eternity. He speaks of two gates. He speaks of two trees. And he speaks of two houses that were built. And tonight we simply want to take one of these analogies, the two gates that we read about in verses 13 and 14. Words which show us two ways that all of man will enter into eternity. They will either go in to a place that is reserved alone for the redeemed, the children of God, a gate of life, or they will either enter into a gate of death, or they will be found in a lost eternity, far from God. And so tonight we want to come and think about this subject of the two gates of eternity. Our first point tonight, very simply, is the gate of death. The gate of death, as it's found for us in verse number 13. I want us to consider, first of all, the dimensions of this gate. The dimensions of this gate, because as Christ introduces this description, he gives us the size and the measurements of this gate. Look at verse 13. Christ says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Here the Savior uses two adjectives to show us the dimensions of this gate. It is wide and it is broad. It's described as being wide, and that's very interesting because that's the only time we read this Greek word used in the whole of the New Testament. And very simply, that little adjective, wide, it means to be wide in length, long in length, and its span from side to side. And again, that's reinforced for us where he says, broad is the way. The gate's not only described as wide, but the way is described as being broad. In other words, it spans a great distance. And so what is it that we can learn from this? What is it that we can glean from these dimensions? Why is the way described as being broad? And why is the gate wide? Well, I believe here that we're reminded about the avenues or the ways in which man can go through life that lead to destruction. As we'll go on to see, the way to heaven, it is narrow. And yet the way to hell, it is broad. This shows us how there's many ways that men and women in life can go to an endless, Christless eternity. Ultimately, no matter how they're living, if they're in rebellion to God, they're all going down that one dark path. And of course, it's a path, it's a way marked out by sin. That is one thing we learn about all those traveling down the broad path tonight. People who are described in Scripture as being enemies to God. People who are holding on to their sin, living in disobedience to the Lord. And the Bible gives us a list of many sins that can be committed in our lives. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, we read the words, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And what somber, solemn words those are tonight. Yet words seeking to show us how mankind, there's many ways that people can sin. They can commit sinful acts. They can murder. They can worship false gods, have a false religion. They can spread lies. They can have deceit in their mouths, or maybe they can just simply live life as they please, believe they're the master of their own fate and their own destiny. And yet one thing that unites all of those people, whilst they commit different acts, they're all going down the same way. They're all united by their sin. And so as we think about the dimensions of the gate of death, we're reminded that there are many ways in our society tonight that men and women can go to hell. It's a broad way. It's a wide gate. And I wonder tonight, are you found in such a way? Are you going down such a path tonight? Well, there's the dimensions of this gate, but there's also the destruction at this gate, the destruction. Because Christ, in these words, he tells us where this gate leads into. He said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." It leadeth to destruction. And here we're reminded about the destiny and the fate of all those who do not repent, those who reject the message of the gospel in Christ and remain in their sin. They will go to a place of destruction, everlasting, eternal destruction. Tonight, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, were aware of John Bunyan and his great literary work of The Pilgrim's Progress. And it is The Pilgrim's Progress which tells us about a young man called Christian. And Christian, in the narrative, he desired to leave off his hometown which was called the City of Destruction. And he wanted to arrive at the Celestial City. And so we see in that story that Christian's family, his wife, his children, they try to hold him back. His neighbors tell him not to go on this journey. And yet Christian left the city of destruction to go to the celestial city. And of course, we have there a picture of those dwelling in a place where the judgment of God was waiting to fall. Those who were happy to remain in such a place, happy to live in their sin for a time, but a time when eventually the mercy of God would end. And the judgment of God would fall. And there's a similar description here given for us as the Savior tells us that this way, this gate of death, it leads to destruction. That's fearful words. It's a fearful thing to think about that one day the mercy and the long suffering of God upon your life will one day come to an end. And then the sinner finding their sins cast off into destruction. That word destruction, it means ruin. It means loss. It means perdition. And of course, the reference isn't just to the loss of a physical life. It's not just physical death, but it's the spiritual death. It's the second death. It's the death of the soul, the never-dying soul, when it's cut off from God, separated and cast into hell. It's that place where all those outside of Christ are heading tonight. And tonight we're reminded there's nothing pleasant, there's nothing desirable in sin that we should long after it. Yes, this world may paint sin to be something to be attractive to others, maybe something that we should be involved in. We're missing out if we're not in sin. Yet we notice the Word of God, the clear teaching, that sin and disobedience will lead to destruction. There's nothing desirable. There's nothing good in sin. We read in the book of Genesis, we know that account very well, when God made Adam and God made Eve, that he gave the warning for their disobedience before they fell. In Genesis 2, verse 17, God says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And so we learn, Adam sinned. Eve sinned, they disobeyed the law of God, and death came by sin. And so the punishment for all sin is what? It is destruction. It's a lost eternity, it's eternal death. That's where this gate will lead. It's one that's marked out by eternal suffering and eternal pain. What a sobering thought to our hearts tonight. And yet we must realize tonight very personally, in the gospel, if we find ourselves outside of Christ, we find ourselves rejecting the message of the cross, this is the destiny awaiting us. This is the destiny awaiting you if you're in your sin. Destruction will one day come to your soul. The Bible, of course, reminds us to not boast ourselves of tomorrow. We don't know what a day may bring forth, what a moment may bring forth, a second may bring forth. And so in the gospel tonight, while there is time and opportunity, would you not prepare to meet God? There's the dimensions of the gate, the destruction, but also the density of this gate. Because we're reminded that this gate of death is one that is traveled by many people. There is a great crowd that is entering into this gate. The end of verse 13 says, "And many there be which go in thereat." The Savior made it very clear that day that there are multitudes, crowds going down this way, entering into this gate and going into destruction. Notice the word many. Many there be which go in thereat. It's not the fact that only a few, only a little number are going to hell, but it's the fact that a great multitude, a significant crowd, are on the broad way. Remember how we spoke about the dimensions of this gate? Reminding us there are many ways, many avenues in life we can go to hell. Now we're seeing there's many people traveling down such a path. And I wonder tonight, can you not just imagine the type of people that we would meet on that broad way if we were to see it tonight? Oh, I'm sure we could see murderers, those who have taken other people's lives going down the broad way. We could see criminals who have performed the worst deeds in their lives. Or we could see the proud, the arrogant, who believed they didn't need God in life. Maybe we could think of health workers, policemen, teachers, those who served in society for good. They helped other people, yet they didn't think about their own soul. We could think of ministers, those who preached the word of God, and yet themselves, they were not saved going down the broad way. Could we not think of people faithfully attending the place of God, the house of God, week by week, hearing the gospel, yet rejecting that message? Well, there's people tonight who have sat in many a gospel service, and yet they've rejected going down the broad way, going down and eventually leading to that place of eternal hell. Hell is a place of great diversity. Many people from different walks of life all going down that way. And what a challenge I believe that is to our hearts. If we're saved, if we belong to the Lord, are we seeking to reach those multitudes? Are we seeking to reach those who are going down such a way? Does it burden our hearts to think about the multitudes that there are even in this city of ours, trampling under feet the blood of Christ, going to a Christless eternity? I say it ought to give us the motivation to go out and serve. We read about Christ, that he looked upon the multitudes, he had compassion. He had compassion upon them. He supped, he sat with publicans, with sinners, he ministered on to them one to one. And is it not that the Lord is able to use us in our own personal witness, in our community, in our workplace, to serve God and to speak to some soul? Tonight, such a people, they need the gospel. They need to hear of Christ. Otherwise, we realize they're in this crowd. They're going through that gate of death. Many there be which go in thereat. And tonight, maybe you find yourself here in the house of God. You're in this crowd. You're in this congregation. And I don't know how you stand before the Lord tonight. Yet I know that God sees your heart. 1 Samuel 16 tells us, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." God is a searcher and a trier of the hearts of man. He sees you as you stand tonight before him. I wonder, does he see you as one of his dear children? Or does he see you as one of these who are in sin, going down that broad way, rejecting him? That's the gate of death. The dimensions, it's wide, it's broad. The destruction, it leads to hell. The density, there's many tonight traveling down such a path in life. There's not only the gate of death. There's also, secondly tonight, the gate of life. Praise God for the gate of life. Praise God for a way of mercy that he has given to us. Because in verse 14, Christ tells us of another gate. He says in verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let us think about some things now about the gate of life. We notice that first of all, it's a limited gate. A limited gate. And when I describe it as being limited, I mean very specifically it has boundaries to it. We see that because Christ says that straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Again, two adjectives are used to describe this gate as with the other. But these adjectives show us that this gate isn't wide. It's not broad like the gate of death. Instead, it's narrow. Instead, it's straight. And that word straight simply, again, means narrow. And so the same idea, it's repeated twice for us. This is a narrow way. And again, there's something we can learn from that. Remember, we spoke about the gate of death. We said it's wide, speaking to us of the many ways to go to hell. Well, now we think about the narrow way unto heaven, reminding us there's only one way that we can get to glory. It's only by God's appointed way, which is through the cross of Christ. There's no other way to get to heaven save Jesus Christ and him alone. We're not able to work our own salvation. No matter how good we live, no matter what we give to charity, to society, no matter the good acts we do to people, no matter how upright, commendable our lives may be, it will not result in salvation. The reality is that Christ alone is the way. Of course, we know the words in John 14, verse 6. Christ says that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so the teaching of Scripture, of the gospel tonight, it's only through Christ, and through him alone that there is salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. And that is why this gate is described as being narrow, because there's not a multitude of ways tonight to get to heaven. There's only one. Faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is able, the one who is sufficient, the one who can take away your sin. That begs the question tonight. Have we been to the cross? Have we been to Christ? Have we our faith in him? Do we have the assurance tonight to know it's well with our soul? We are saved and redeemed by the blood of his Son. Tonight, if you don't have Christ, you're not relying on him, you're sure to fail. You're sure to go to a Christless eternity. Instead, you must repent. Acknowledge your sin before the Lord. Acknowledge there's nothing you can do to save yourself, but then see a Savior that is able. Come to him, confess your sin. Cry on to him in faith, believing that he is able to save. And then he will save your soul. You can be forgiven tonight if you come to the Lord his way through the cross of Christ. It's a limited gate. It's also a life-giving gate. A life-giving gate. Because we see that this gate, it says in verse 14, it leads onto life. Again, we saw how the gate of death, it leads to destruction. Destruction which is eternal, everlasting. But this gate leads to life, and it is life that, again, is eternal, everlasting life. The life that is spoken of here is not merely a physical life, but, again, it's a spiritual life. There's a picture here of when the soul of man is regenerated in order to be saved. We become that new creature in Christ, as Paul could describe it. And what we must notice tonight is that we're not able to make new life in and of ourselves. Turn with me to John chapter 3, and we'll see this very clearly in that account with Christ and Nicodemus. Well-known words in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and the verse 7. And Christ says to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." It was as Christ spoke those words to Nicodemus, he was not giving a command, but he was making a statement. Man is not able to give himself new life. He's not able to make himself born again. Instead, in order for man to be born again, God must work. God must intervene. God must give that new life. Put it this way, when we were born into this world, we didn't give ourselves physical life. God gave us physical life. So it is with spiritual life. Only God can give the new birth. Regeneration, salvation is of the Lord and all of him alone. And instead, what Christ was saying in John 3 and 7 is that all of mankind needs spiritual life. All of mankind needs God in order to be saved. The Word of God makes it clear that the sinner's dead in trespasses and sins. Yet even though man is dead in those sins, he's active. He's active because he's actively living in sin. He's actively living in rebellion to God. He's actively doing those things which he believes is right. But in reality, they're sinful or against God. And so we see the great need in life, the need to be born again, the need for God to step in and to give us new life. How is it that we can have new life? How is it that we can be born again? Well, we're given the answer in John 3, verse 15. It says that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in Christ, should not perish, but have eternal life. Simply tonight, new life is found in believing in Christ, placing your faith in him. That word believe, it doesn't mean to have a head knowledge. It doesn't mean to know all about God and the scriptures in your head. It means to believe in your heart, but believe within your soul and be united to him in salvation. Christ reminds us that there is a way to be saved through him, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the only remedy tonight for the soul of man. The path of life promises us salvation for our soul. We're promised that if we come to Christ, He is able, He will give us that new life. We'll be adopted into the family of God, become His children, and eventually one day we'll be glorified in heaven. It's a life-giving gate here in John 7, verse 14. One that is able to give us everlasting, abundant, eternal life through Him. Do you know what it is tonight to be born again? Do you know what it is to have that everlasting life found alone to Christ? Well, this gate of life, it's a limited gate. It's a life-giving gate, but finally tonight, see that it's a less traveled gate. A less traveled gate. The end of verse 14 says, "And few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. Christ told us that the gate of death, there are many that will enter in thereat. But when it comes to eternal life, few there be that find it. These words tell us about finding the gate, showing us that there is a search in the hearts of men. And clearly we see that in life. There are those, all of us are born seeking to understand what is the meaning of life, seeking to fulfill the void that there is in our heart. And in doing so, sadly, many turn to the things of this world in order to satisfy themselves. They turn to sin, they turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, whatever it may be, in order to fulfill, to satisfy. Yet it brings no satisfaction. Instead, it only leads to more harm, more pain, more hurt. It leads them astray. It leaves men feeling empty, feeling hopeless in life. Instead, it is those few. It's those few that find the true meaning to life. It's those few that see the need of the Lord. And it's those few that come unto Him and are saved, that are satisfied because Christ meets the need in the life. Remember, we said from Revelation that there's going to be a great multitude going down to hell. But in the book of Revelation, we're told of another multitude before the throne of God, praising and glorifying Him from all tribes, all kindreds, all tongues, all nations. And we read about that great multitude in Revelation that there'll be in glory, and yet Christ here calls it few. Few there be that find it. It reminds us that those who are saved are in the minority. When compared to the masses there are on this globe, on this earth, the people of God are few. There are more people rejecting Christ than there are people accepting Christ. And again, what a challenge tonight that is to the church of God. Yes, we're on our way to glory. Yes, we're saved. Praise God. But what about those on the broad road? What about those going to the place of destruction? Does the sound of those trampling footsteps going to hell not bring concern? Or are we happy to live at ease in the house of God to know it's well for us? Or are we burdened for those who are lost in our families, those of our friends, those in work, wherever we're placed in life? We know of those who are unsaved. Does it burden our hearts to reach down for the Lord? It definitely should. It definitely should. And whilst we rejoice that there is a gate of life, we acknowledge tonight there are many who do not find it. Many who go their own way. And maybe tonight you're here in the house of God. Maybe there's someone listening online and you're seeking for the meaning of life. You're seeking for satisfaction. You've tried the things of this world. You've tried all that this world has to offer, and yet tonight you're not satisfied in your soul. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 25, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do not be deceived tonight. Come and realize that Christ is the answer for your soul. He alone can satisfy your heart. Come to Him. Many in this meeting who are on that narrow way, many going to eternity, Yet why not come and join that heavenly band? Why not come and join us on that path? Oh yes, it's a path that involves hardships. You come to Christ tonight, you're saved. We don't promise a life that is rosy, a life of ease. No, very often the life of the Christian involves difficulties. We saw that this morning with the life of David. Difficulties, hardships, troubles. But as we saw, God gives sufficient grace. And we know if we're saved that we're on the narrow way. No matter what valley we go through, no matter what mountaintop we have to climb, we go through with God. Because we know one day we're going to the place of life. Glory is promised to us. And one day we're going to be with Christ, which is far better. And so as we close tonight, I leave you with one simple question. What path are you on? What gate are you going to enter in? When eternity comes and death comes your way, will it be the case that you enter in at the gate of life, knowing that you're saved and you belong to the Lord? Or will it be when death comes your way that you'll be found wanting, found still in your sin? And then you'll hear those words which we read in verse 23 of this chapter. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Tonight, don't waste the opportunity in the gospel. Tonight, make sure that you're right with God. Know what it is to have your feet taken off the broad way and placed onto the narrow path that leads to the gate of life. And so I urge you tonight, in closing, with the words of the Savior himself at the beginning of verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Tonight, decide for Christ. Come to him. Experience life alone through the Savior. Him that cometh to me, the Lord says, I will in no wise cast out. You come to Christ as you are, he'll accept you, he'll save you. And you can know what it is to join that crowd, that band that are going to glory. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright. And we know that we're going to dwell with Christ, see his beauty, praise him for all that he has done. Come tonight to him and experience life through him. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We're going to close our meeting now in a word of prayer. Let us still